Understanding architecture in general is, well, it's one thing, but actually practicing here in California, that's a whole different ball game, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. There's this layer of state-specific stuff you really have to get your head around.
It feels almost like you need a special key to unlock how projects really work here. And for architects, that key is pretty much the California Supplemental Examination, the CSE.
Exactly. The CSE doesn't just skim the surface. It dives deep into the practical realities, the laws, the codes, everything that makes practicing architecture unique in this state.
It really tests how your standard architectural knowledge holds up against, well, California realities.
Right. And today we're focusing on a really critical chunk of the exam, the parts that are all about actually building things here.
Yeah, the CSE has those five main content areas. Everyone knows them, each with its own weight.
Just quickly, those are contract development and project planning at 25%, then schematic design and discretionary approvals, that's a big one at 30%.
Then design development at 15%, construction documents and permitting at 10%, and finally, project bidding and construction, which is 20%.
Okay, so those first two, contract and schematic design, they're massive, right? Over half the exam. They lay all the groundwork.
Definitely foundational. But today we're really zeroing in on areas 3, 4, and 5. That's design development, CDs and permitting, and bidding and construction.
Think of it like this. Areas 1 and 2 set the stage, but 3, 4, and 5 are where the performance really happens, where everything gets tested against California's specific rules and processes.
Yeah, and what's super interesting about these three is how they weave together code compliance California codes, specifically in coordinating with all the different agencies involved.
And how the architect's role kind of shifts through these phases. That's really what we want to unpack today, that interplay.
Right, and we want to make it real, look at it from the perspective of folks actually doing this stuff day in, day out, like project managers, project captains.
Yeah, show why this CSE content isn't just theoretical exam stuff, but vital for actual practice.
Okay, so let's dive in. Area 3, design development, 15%. What's the core idea here?
Design development, or DD, is really where your initial design concepts start getting hammered into shape by California's regulatory environment and by the need to coordinate with all your consultants, engineers, specialists, the whole team.
So it's less about the big picture idea and more about the nuts and bolts of how it gets built here.
Precisely. You have to start embedding California-specific code requirements right into the design details.
Like what are some big California-only things you hit in DD?
Well, seismic design is obviously a huge one. California's requirements are pretty rigorous for good reason.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Then you've got wildfire zones that brings in Chapter 7A of the building code,
Yeah.
dictating materials, clearances, things like that.
Okay.
And energy efficiency. Title 24, Part 6, it's incredibly strict, way ahead of many places. California's really pushing on climate action, and you see it directly in the building codes.
Yeah.
Understanding why the state's environmental goals helps make sense of the requirements.
Right. And accessibility, too. That's not just the federal ADA, is it?
Not at all. California has its own Title 24 accessibility rules, and often they're more demanding. So you're juggling both federal and state
Oh,
requirements.
okay.
Plus, you've got CO Green Title 24, Part 11. That pushes green building practices affecting materials, water use, even indoor air quality. Think specifying non-combustible siding or designing defensible space because of Chapter 7A. Real design decisions.
So are state agencies already looking over your shoulder during DED?
It depends on the project type, but yeah, absolutely. Designing a public school, you'll be working with the DSA, the Division of the State Architect, healthcare facility that brings in HEAI, Healthcare Access and Information, used to be OSHPD. They're deeply involved.
So boiling it down for the CSE, what's the key skill being tested in this DED phase?
Fundamentally, it's asking. Can you take that design intent and translate it into coordinated, detailed documents that actually meet all of California's specific, sometimes very tough, code requirements?
Okay. Can you give us a quick scenario? Like, what does this look like for someone on the ground?
Sure. Imagine you're project captain on a new school project. You're coordinating the MEP system's mechanical, electrical, plumbing.
Oh.
It's not just about making ducts and pipes fit. You also have to make absolutely sure the seismic bracing for all that equipment meets DSA standards. And at the same time, the whole system design has to hit the energy targets set by Title 24.
I see. So it's that multi-layered compliance and coordination puzzle.
Exactly. It's complex and it all comes together right there in DD.
Okay, so that sets up the next stage nicely. Area 4, construction documents and permitting. Only 10%, but sounds critical.
It absolutely is. Yeah. This is where everything you figured out in DDE gets formalized. You're creating the final, fully coordinated set of contract documents. The blueprints, the specs, everything.
And these documents have to be crystal clear, right? For the contractor, for the client.
And for the plan checkers. They need to explicitly show compliance with every single applicable code and regulation. No ambiguity allowed.
Which brings us to permitting. That sounds like where things can really get interesting in California.
Oh, yeah. The plan check process. Depending on where your project is and what it is, you could be dealing with a whole host of agencies.
Like who? Beyond the usual suspects.
Well, you've always got your local building and planning departments and the fire marshal. That's standard.
Mm-hmm.
But then you might need approvals from environmental health, maybe the air quality management district. If you're near the coast or a highway, you could have the Coastal Commission or Caltrans involved, regional water boards, public works. The list can get long.
Wow. Sounds like you need some serious organizational skills. What does the CSE focus on here?
It tests your ability to actually assemble the right submission package for each specific jurisdiction, knowing what they need.
Okay.
And then, crucially, how effectively you can respond to plan check comments. Because you will get comments, often from multiple agencies at once.
Right, and they might not always agree, or their timelines might clash.
Exactly. Managing that feedback loop, making corrections without creating new problems, keeping everything on track, that's key.
Got an example of navigating that?
Okay. Picture a project manager handling permits for a hospital addition. They get comments back from the local building department, maybe on structural details or general accessibility.
Standard stuff.
But simultaneously, HCAI sends back their comments, which are way more focused on healthcare specifics, infection control, maybe specialized equipment requirements, patient safety stuff.
Ah, okay. Two different sets of priorities.
Right. And the PM has to manage responses to both, making sure any changes satisfy the local and the state requirements, and that the changes don't conflict with each other. It's a real balancing act.
Definitely sounds like it. Okay, so we've got the design refined, the CDs done, the permits. Finally, now we move into actually getting it built. Area 5. Project bidding and construction. 20% waiting here.
Yeah, this is a significant phase, and the architect's role shifts again. You're less the primary designer now and more the project's advocate and the administrator of that construction contract you just created.
So during the bidding part, what's the architect doing?
You're typically issuing addenda clarifications or minor changes to the bid docs. You're also responding to RFIs, requests for information, from the bidding contractors.
Trying to clear up any confusion before bids come in?
Exactly. And the crucial thing is clarifying the intent of the documents without accidentally changing the project scope. That's a fine line sometimes.
Makes sense. Now, what makes this phase uniquely Californian? What are the state-specific wrinkles?
There are quite a few. Understanding California's lien laws is vital, particularly on private projects. It protects everyone's right to get paid.
Okay, important.
For public projects, you need to know the California Public Contract Code specific rules for bidding, awarding contracts, things like that.
Got it. Public versus private rules.
And then the agency oversight continues. Special inspections are a big deal, especially for schools under DSA or hospitals under HCAI. They have inspectors verifying critical work during construction.
So DSA and HCAI don't just disappear after permits?
Not at all. They're involved right through construction. And one more thing, prevailing wage. If public money is involved, you have to know and ensure compliance with California's prevailing wage laws for labor.
Right. So it seems like even if the design and documents are perfect, things can still go sideways during construction if it's not managed well.
Absolutely. This part of the CSE is really testing your ability to manage that process. Can you protect life safety on site? Can you help minimize risks for the owner and the team?
And sure, the final building actually matches the approved plans and codes.
Precisely. Does the built reality align with the code, the contract, and the design intent? Good construction administration is critical to making that happen.
Can you give us a quick construction phase example?
Sure. Let's say you're the PM overseeing construction of a new fire station, and it's state funded.
Okay, so public funds, probably DSA involvement.
Likely DSA, yes, as an essential services facility. So your job involves making sure the contractor is building exactly according to the DSA approved documents. You're coordinating with special inspectors who are also reporting to DSA, verifying materials, installation methods.
So you're kind of the eyes and ears for compliance on site.
In many ways, yes. and you have to manage any issues that come up in the field, like unforeseen conditions, while making sure any solutions still meet DSA requirements. It's a specific, rigorous kind of oversight.
That really clarifies the role. So we've walked through DD, CDs and permitting and construction. How do those big early phases, areas 1 and 2, contracts and schematic design, really feed into making these later phases work?
It's crucial to see the connection. Remember, areas 1 and 2 make up 55% of the exam for a reason. They lay the entire foundation.
So getting them right makes areas 3, 4, and 5 smoother.
Massively smoother. Think about it. A really well-defined contract hammered out in area 1 might clearly state how RFIs or change orders are handled during construction. That alone can prevent huge disputes later.
Right. Sets the rules of the game early.
Exactly. And if your schematic design, back in Area 2, already tackled major regulatory hurdles, maybe you addressed CQA environmental impacts early or dealt with tricky zoning issues, then your design development and permitting phases are just going to be much, much easier. Fewer surprises.
So it really is a continuous process. What you do early directly impacts the difficulty and success later on.
Absolutely. You can't really isolate these phases. Mm. Strong contracts and smart, regulation-aware schematic design save enormous headaches down the line in DD, permitting, and construction.
Okay, so wrapping this up then, what's the big takeaway message for someone prepping for the CSE, looking at these later, more implementation-focused areas?
I think the key thing is realizing that getting a project built successfully in California demands more than just good design. It requires this deep, practical grasp of the state-specific codes, its complex web of regulations, and how all the different agencies operate.
And the architect isn't just the designer through all this.
No, your role evolves. Through DD, permitting, and construction, you become a crucial coordinator, a problem solver, and really a guardian ensuring compliance with all those California rules.
And paying attention to how the CSC weights these areas is obviously key for studying.
Definitely. Know where the points are, 15% for DD, 10% for CDs permitting, 20% for construction, but also understand how deeply they're connected to that big 55% foundation in areas 1 and 2. It all ties together.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. When you think about just how complex California's regulatory environment is for building, how can you, as an architect, best position yourself to be a strategic leader through that entire process?
Yeah. How do you ensure you deliver not just great design, but also navigate that compliance maze efficiently from the very first sketch right through to handing over the keys?
It probably means really digging into those specific codes, those agencies we mentioned, DSA, HDAI, Title 24, CL Green, and truly understanding your role within that whole system, something to think about.